Redline.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kurepko.
And Sergei Strokin.
Welcome to today's program, and this is what we want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. Mosul Offensive, Coalition of Discord. The U.S.-led coalition offensive to liberate the city of Mosul from Daesh has found itself in trouble after two major coalition partners, Turkey and Iraq, locked horns over who should play the key role in the operation. Kalai Jungle, under the bulldozer of democracy. The French authorities' decision to demolish the major migrant camp known as the Jungle and disperse its varied asylum-seeking inhabitants has rocked France and sparked controversy all across Europe. And also, Nicolas Maduro, commander and coup. Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro is facing a new challenge from the opposition-led parliament after they launch an impeachment proceeding against him, which his Bolivarian Revolution supporters see as a coup attempt. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about the twists and turns in the Battle of Mosul. The U.S.-led coalition offensive to liberate the city of Mosul from Daesh has found itself in trouble after two major coalition partners, Turkey and Iraq, locked horns over who should play the key role in the operation. The Turkish government says that its military forces are in northern Iraq at the invitation of the autonomous Kurdish regional government, while Baghdad vehemently objects to this and says that it's an illegal invasion. Meanwhile, Erdogan has ignored the criticism coming from his Iraqi counterpart and even ordered the Turkish military to assist the Kurdish Peshmerga with artillery and tank support, provocatively raising the stakes that Turkish and Iraqi forces might clash and distracting from what should have been their shared focus on Daesh. As the coalition's campaign to liberate Mosul bumps into problems of its own making, the momentum might dwindle and the real enemy might seize the chance to retreat and fight another day.
Andrew, I agree that the week was full of controversies, and one of the major controversies come from this coalition which is trying to recapture Mosul. It is not only the case that while they're talking about fighting Daesh, we've seen the civilian losses during this week. The other thing, of course, is that we've seen the biggest crack in the coalition, which is only in second week of operation. On one hand, we see desperate attempts on the part of the Obama administration to show that Mosul, which is second largest city of Iraq, would be liberated by Iraqi forces, and President Obama made a special emphasis on that. On the other hand, we see that Turkish President Erdogan is saying, look guys, it is me who is running the show, and I will decide who will liberate Mosul. And in such a situation, when two key partners of the coalition, Iraq and Turkey, lock horn over the issue of Mosul, that can really lead to very serious consequences, which would not be probably restricted to the fate of Mosul. But we can't rule out even in standoff, military standoff between the parties. So what Obama administration going to do with this? Probably you've seen that these days there was an urgent trip which was made by Defense Secretary Ashton Carter to Ankara and to Baku, who was trying to somehow pacify all sides and tell them, look guys, with all your differences, which you have to put aside, we have a thing to fight Daesh. But it seems that his pledges, his calls remained unnoticed.
Yeah, I mean, we just have so many problems that are appearing in this coalition that I think it's questionable just, I mean, will it be able to stick together? So that's why we're discussing this today. It's definitely a hot-button topic, and we're going to begin by speaking with our in-studio guest, Mr. Sergei Aznobyshev. He's director of the Institute of Strategic Assessment here in Moscow. Hello, Mr. Aznobyshev.
Hello. The idea is very interesting of this capturing Mosul. First of all, the whole operation started officially, it was announced, in March this year. So what they were doing for half a year, this is one question. Another question, it's not the question, but this is my vision of the situation. You know, a lot of things in Soviet Union, where I'm partially from, were made for some anniversaries, for national holidays, for party congresses. And I suppose that this announcement of so-called capturing Mosul is made just before the elections for the Democratic Party to report to the American people that, well, they are successful, that there are some successes in this Middle East, which I suppose they lost, not just they lost, but they initiated this lose of the Middle East and the whole their policy. Well, remember this, the big Middle East, we remember all these projects, they all failed. And I suppose that, so this is a very important consideration. And as far as the military side of the event, it reminds me of medieval ages when the, well, different militia people or simple peasants were gathered from parts of the country to try to capture the castle. So they are all gathered, but nobody knows, and you cannot effectively command all these people. They have all their interests, and we see, I suppose, a big quarrel among them in both cases. If they lose or if they win.
No, I think you raised some really good points, and I think you had a very, very colorful metaphor in comparing this to the Dark Ages. I think that it might resonate with some of our listeners. But we're going to move over to our first expert on the line to tell us more about this, and that's Mr. Max Suchkov. He's a member of the Russia International Affairs Council, and he's also a columnist at El Monitor.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Suchkov. How are you today?
Good, gentlemen. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Actually, you know, we're discussing a really important issue, and this is the cracks that are emerging in the anti-Daesh coalition between Turkey and Iraq. And I wanted to ask you what needs to be done to rectify these differences and resolve the controversy over Turkey's military deployment in northern Iraq, because it seems like that's the main hindrance here. That's tearing the coalition apart.
Well, indeed, Andrew, and I think I don't really have a very optimistic news for you, because I've really look at Mosul and think of it as something that emerges as yet another point where interests of regional powers clash, because Turkey has always had historical claims for Mosul, which once was the vilayet of the Ottoman Empire, and they have trained the allegedly 3,000 Iraqi military to help free Mosul, and now they, as you said, you know, they have these bitter spats with the Iraqi central government. At the same time, you know, Iran sees it as a vital corridor for Syria to make sure they have this sort of Shia arch there, and they are willing to support the Shia militia. And Turkey doesn't really seem to be, well, doesn't seem to be willing to step back, because they look at the operation in Mosul as a great opportunity to create a bridgehead in Iraq, similar to that they gained in Syria with their Shield of Euphrates operation. And at the same time, if I may continue, U.S. looks at now at Mosul as an important milestone to mark President Obama's presidency on a successful note in the fight against Daesh. So I think, again, it's a very unfortunate situation where all the powers seem to have these divergent interests, making sure they gain the upper hand.
Yeah, what else I want to ask you then, you know, if we look at Syria and Iraq as a unified theater, I mean, some people call it Syrak, we see that there are three main cities, Aleppo, Raqqa, and Mosul. And right now, the anti-Daesh coalition, the U.S.-led one, is, you know, very active with Mosul. We know that, you know, Russia and Syria are very active in Aleppo, but my question is, right between them is Raqqa. So are these two operations, Aleppo and Mosul, are they kind of aimed at going towards Raqqa? I mean, what do you forecast in the future for the capital of Daesh?
Well, I totally agree with you, and I think, you know, the Russia-led coalition, the U.S.-led coalition are going, you know, for the respective cities of Aleppo and Mosul, but at the end of the day, there will be a bigger run for Raqqa, you know, to make sure they have. And I think in your program, we've talked already about it sometime in the future. Someone used the metaphor for the run for Berlin or the battle for Berlin, and I think, in fact, the run for Raqqa will be the battle for Berlin sometime in the future. But that's, again, if it's possible, if the Russians and Americans are able to work within their coalitions and make sure that they do what they think is necessary to do in Aleppo and Mosul, respectively.
Okay, thank you very much, Max, for explaining that to us. And we were happy to have had you on the show again. Thank you.
Red Line.
To help us enrich the discussion and provide our original input into all this, we're going to be speaking right now to Mr. Ali Ibrahim. He's a Syrian journalist from Damascus. Hello, Mr. Ibrahim. What I want to ask you about today is I want to ask you about the news that terrorists are going to be infiltrating from Iraq to Syria. The terrorists that are fleeing Mosul might go to Aleppo, they might go to Raqqa, they might go all over Syria. But Russia at the same time has said they will bomb these terrorist convoys if they cross the border. So I just want to see what you think about this, where you see it heading, and how you assess the interconnection between the Syrian and Iraqi theaters.
Russia has said recently that it will be taking what it called decisive measures to prevent ISIL from moving fighters from Iraq into Syria. And the second thing, I think Raqqa is not the real target of what the Americans are doing in Syria right now, because what's happening in Raqqa right now is insignificant in comparison to other parts of the country. What I mean is, so far, according to Syrian army sources, over 1,000 fighters from ISIL left Iraq and moved into Syria. But out of this 1,000, less than 200 have actually went into Raqqa. The rest of the fighters have went to smaller towns in the deserts of central Syria, and they are setting up around oil wells and in these small towns of the deserts of central Syria. So I think the Russians are fully aware that the Americans would like to see a bigger presence for ISIL in Syria, because this would allow the U.S. to be more involved in Syria, and it would give it more legitimacy for its interventions in Syria. So I think Russia at this point will do what it can to prevent as many fighters as possible from crossing into the country. But I think upcoming days will be very interesting to see how will ISIL defend Mosul, how long it will hold on to that city, and when it comes back to Syria, what will be the first move of a radical group? Will it attack the Syrian government or will it attack other rebels? And upcoming days, I think, will be very, very interesting in that regard.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, what I want to ask you now is I want to ask you about the role of Turkey. I mean, we see that Turkey's in northern Iraq. They're within striking distance of Mosul. They've been assisting the Peshmerga. At the same time, they're in northern Syria. They're very, very close to Aleppo. And they've said they'll make a move on Raqqa when they want. So, I mean, how do you see Turkey in this whole situation? And, I mean, what is the role of Erdogan? What does he want and how far is he going to go?
That's also a very interesting question. When you have a government in Turkey, like the one in power right now, it's very hard to predict their moves, because they have shown a consistent pattern since the beginning of the conflict in Syria in 2011, that they would take irrational sometimes moves and steps that would destabilize not just Syria, but also Turkey, in the hope that these steps would give them better political advantages in the Middle East. Recently, in the past 48 hours, allies of the Syrian government, and when we say allies of the Syrian government, I'm speaking here about Iranian experts and advisors operating on the ground, along with fighters from Hezbollah and Iraqi militias that have came from Iraq to fight alongside the Syrian government. They issued a statement saying they will not allow Turkey to attack Syrian government forces or allied forces. And we know that also in the past 48 hours, the Syrian Air Force, for the first time, has carried out airstrikes against rebel factions involved with Turkey in the recent incursion into Syria. And Turkey has announced it wants to create a safe zone inside Syria, with an area that could reach up to 5,000 square kilometers. I think Erdogan will try to take control of as much area of Syria as possible. I think he will try to compensate for his losses in Iraq, because he will not be able to participate in the battle for Mosul in Syria, because he needs that to boost his image as an Islamic leader, as someone who defends Sunnis against the Shiites, which is something that Erdogan has built a lot of momentum using that as pretext. So I think upcoming days we could see moves by Erdogan that would involve attacking the Kurdish militias in Syria, trying to attack government forces or the Syrian army. But what I can tell you for a fact is the Syrian government sources, the Syrian army, they have all taken very good steps in the direction of being well prepared for such a move from the Turkish side.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Ibrahim. It was very insightful that you could provide your regional perspective to us. Thank you. It was very valuable. Okay, Sergey, just to wrap everything up, I think we can agree that Mosul is so important. That's what makes it so tragic and so ironic that this coalition is falling apart just 2 weeks after its inception and launching the liberation offensive. And we have so many actors on the ground. We have Turkey, Iraq, United States, and we can't forget, I mean, the Kurds as non-state actors, Iran's there. I mean, this looks like it could be a big mess. I just hope it can be resolved soon, but I'm not too optimistic.
I would put it this way. The battle for Mosul can open already opened Pandora box. And while Mr. Suchko was talking about Shia Arch, I think now it's hard time to think of an arch rivalry between Turkey and Iran.
Yeah, I mean, there are just so many questions, like you said, as the Pandora's box. So we're going to thank all of our guests for participating today, beginning with their in-studio guest, Mr. Sergey Aznobyshev. He's director of the Institute of Strategic Assessment here in Moscow. We also spoke to Mr. Max Suchkov. He's a member of the Russian International Affairs Council, and he's also a columnist at Al Monitor. And last but not least, we have Mr. Ala Ibrahim on the line. He's a Syrian journalist from Damascus. Following in our program, we have Kalai Jungle under the bulldozer of democracy, and Nicolas Maduro, commander and coup. Stay with us.